Hi, friends. It's Abby Feeder, certified life and fertility coach, and you're listening to The Fertility Chick. This show is all about the path to parenthood, which is never the same for everyone, and our guest's professional success along the way. You're in for a fun one today. I'm joined by the amazing Elizabeth King and Ali Prado. We are doing a three-way podcast about all things infertility and pop culture. We talk about some of our favorite references, we dissect some of what we think or interpret them to mean, and we'd love to hear more from you if you have some of your favorites too. In the meantime, please enjoy.
Okay, everybody. Hi, welcome to this three-way podcast crossover episode, which I'm so excited about. I'm Ali Prado. We've got Elizabeth King here and we've got Abby Feeder. We thought it would be fun to do an episode all about pop culture and fertility and infertility in pop culture. So we wanted to just kind of shoot the shit, for lack of a better word, about things that have been happening in pop culture lately, songs and shows and things like that. So we're just going to kind of talk about what we've seen, what we've heard, and go from there. And we'd love to hear after this, you know, DM us or get a hold of us and let us know your thoughts and what your like favorite pop culture moments have been lately. There's so many, and I feel like there's even more now. Do you guys feel that way? Like it's
becoming— For sure. Absolutely. And I think once you're open to it, it's like seeing the green car, right? You see, maybe you're in the market for a green car and then all of a sudden you see green cars everywhere.
Yeah.
But especially since it's all so near and dear to our hearts, not only, yes, in fact, it is becoming more acceptable to talk about, which thank the Lord for that. It is being produced more about as a storyline, which is very cool. So I'm really excited to have this conversation because we had a laundry list that we were taking tabs on starting 3 or 4 years ago. And now we don't even keep up with it anymore because it's so much.
So prevalent. Yeah. I think also important to add that my hope is that part of the reason it's being talked about more is because women writers are in the room a little bit more. And so Amen. Their story ideas are coming to fruition, which for a long time, as we know, and it's there are so many personal, many, many plot lines woven into some of these bigger shows that come from a personal journey of the writer. And I think it's fantastic.
That would be interesting to note too. I just out of curiosity, of those storylines that are being written, how many of them actually were women versus men?
Yeah.
You know, I remember seeing the movie Up, you know, it had been out for a long time, but now that I have kids, I watch some of these more, I didn't before, but now I'm watching the animated ones. And I remember having that thought then, was it a man writer of this that was that wrote in this miscarriage? And was it because he had his own, or how does it become part of the storyline?
That's such a great place to start, Elizabeth, actually, which we didn't even pre-talk about, because I had watched Up when it came out in the theaters. I did not have kids.
Such a cute movie, by the way.
So good. And so I did not remember that part. And I recently rewatched it with my children, and I was a gushing mess on the couch. So without spoiling too much for somebody who might see it, this will be a spoiler, but they make it a very subtle problem, let's say, or like that you can't, they don't come out and say it, but they do show the elation of this beautiful couple who are married and best friends. I know. And they get so excited and
they're doing the room.
They're doing Baby's the nursery. Room. Yes. And then we cut to her in a hospital in a wheelchair, very sad, and him sort of stroking her back, and she's in the doctor's office. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And actually, my kids did ask about it in that moment. We don't have to get into that, but it was like, yes, we should be prepared for these conversations. And I forgot about that scene completely. It's like I blocked it out, and it was incredible. Oh.
I feel like it goes to show. So what year did Up come out? I mean, this is what, 10?
I don't even know. More than 10.
But yeah, we can Google it. But I think it's funny and interesting because they like allude to, I mean, more than allude to it. They talk about it, but they don't ever say it. And I think, I wonder if that movie were made today, if it would be a little bit more.
I'm sure it would be.
You know, because I mean, but that's also the beauty of animated features, right? There's a lot of stuff for the adults that the kids don't pick up on. So maybe they were trying to keep it in that kind of limbo area where they didn't really blatantly say it. But I wonder if it'd be different.
I'm sure it would be. I feel like nowadays with animation, they're touching on all the things more openly than ever.
Mm-hmm. It was 2009, by the way. So it's 15 years ago already.
Wow.
The Google race. I was like,
I know, I know. Well, you were busy talking, which was good. So I could Google in the background.
Next year Ever was born. Okay. Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's interesting because when that happened, Disney movies, I'm often shocked by some of the older ones that I haven't watched in a while. Like even Frozen, the parents die. There's so many where the parents die. Or so, like,
every Disney movie,
Bambi, like, right, every single one. And this one I had really forgotten. And I was like, oh man, they really pull on your heartstrings. But I like the reversal that it was the loss of the baby as opposed to a parent dying. And I don't think they've done that in any other ones before or since. And I'm just curious how it landed, you know?
And I want to add to that, they go on to not ever having children and having this amazing, beautiful life together, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't see that in stories ever without
really
the
good
family
point.
That people can actually go on and have an amazing relationship and fulfilled life without children.
Mm-hmm. Really good point. Really good point. Gosh, see how this didn't even, there's so many of them. Okay.
I know.
Well,
let's take it
into American Horror Story. Delicate. Because let's go from Disney cartoons into
a hard left.
Well, only because it's like current right now. It's on TV now. They did, I think, 5 episodes to start, and then they paused, I think, because of the writer's strike. And then they filmed the last 4 or 5, which are just out now. And it is intense. It is, it's Kim Kardashian and Emma Roberts. And yes, I will say I liked Kim Kardashian a whole lot more in this than I thought
liked
I would.
A lot in this, yeah.
So is she a regular on this show, or she's just like the guest on the show?
Well, how they change the cast every season, you know, she's one
right.
of the...
But okay. In this season, she's one of the 2 main characters.
Okay. Yeah, I don't watch it. So I'm following along on this. And I was curious to hear that she's actually taking roles like that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And she was pretty good. I mean, you know, she wasn't Emma Roberts, but she was pretty good.
Can you explain the plot a little bit, Abs?
So Emma Roberts is a very high profile celebrity actress who is, I don't know if she's struggling to get, yeah, she is. She's struggling to get pregnant because she's already seeing a fertility doctor. She's pretty happily married. Kim K plays her publicist, Siobhan. And she goes through kind of psychotropic, because it is American Horror Story, all kinds of visions and trauma and insanity, imagined and some unimagined, some real, some imagined, about her pregnancy, her IVF journey, her doctor, and she and Kim Kardashian in the show have met through an IVF support group.
Awesome.
I think is awesome.
Is it all realistic plot line? Like when you're watching it, are you guys like, yes, 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 just checks the boxes? Or you're like, nah, that's not really.
I mean, I think like any American Horror Story, it's in that, you know, like Abby said, that like psychedelic, you know, like they make it all very exaggerated, but I think the themes are relatable. You know, there's a lot of paranoia and like meds go missing, and it's like a, you know, like there's some
interesting
involved, and you know,
and also like her doctor experience I think is pretty authentic. You know, the one thing that was like, if we're really nitpicking, was inauthentic was she's like marking on her calendar her 2-week wait, and she marks a full 14 days. Like everyone knows it's not 14. Yeah. You know, but that's like if you're nitpicking, you know.
Right.
So we'll let them have that one.
Yeah.
It goes back to the question of like the writer's room, like right? Like I wonder who wrote that. Was it somebody who went through it, or was it somebody who, you know, that seems like something that if somebody were in the midst of it, they wouldn't have done that full 2 weeks, you know? So I don't know.
Right. That's true.
And it's interesting that 2-week slip up happened, because I felt everything else of there. You know, it's Ryan Murphy. He is not a female going through pregnancy or infertility, but he's a very smart creative writer. And I'm sure he brought experts on to talk about it, because.
Right. And I think he had a surrogacy journey, didn't he? In his own family building.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think you're right.
It's not like a new.
Right.
You know, IVF and stuff is not totally new to his world. We need to fact check this.
I know.
I think he does have kids.
There's a lot of very relatable trauma about pregnancy after loss, I found, from Emma Roberts. You know, physical, but also then some psychedelic. But I felt like the psychedelic is when we are in our worst moments and we think about worst case scenario. They played it out in a scene, which I thought was cool.
That is cool. I feel like, because it's hard for somebody who's going through it not to go to worst case scenario, because they're so used to having bad news all the time that to get their head around, to retrain it, to think it might actually be good news this time, right? Like for you, Abby, when you got the confirmation for the twins going on the few weeks, and you too, Allie, your stories are similar. Did you then be like, oh my gosh, is this the one time that I'm actually going to get good news? And at what point does that switch? Because I think all my clients are so used to it's worst case scenario again. Yes, I'm pregnant, but it's not going to last.
Yeah. I didn't think it was going to last until I gave birth, truly.
Yeah.
And once I gave birth, I was like, Abby, remember, there's twins in there, but there is a possibility that God forbid something happens to one of them and you only, you know?
Of course.
I mean, yeah.
I can't help it.
Like I still don't feel sometimes like it's real. Like I'm like, did that happen? Like, did we, you know, is Sunny here? Like, did that really, I really do feel like that sometimes too. I think it's the trauma brain. Like,
for sure. I talk about it all the time that now that they are here, still that fact that something's going to happen to them or whatever. Yeah. And I know that it's all rooted in that. As much work that I have done, I know that that, again, that extreme sense of, oh, well, something, you know, can be pulled out from under me so many times, you know, it could happen again, you know.
Totally.
It's sad to say because it's not a happy place to live, but it is rooted in that, I know for sure.
Ryan Murphy has three kids with his husband. awesome. And then Kim also had two of her kids through surrogacy.
Right. Surrogacy. Mm-hmm.
I wonder, again, behind the scenes, if she like weighed in on any of this at all.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You know, she could have been the resident expert.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, I wonder.
That's true.
And she's been like, she's talked about that, but she hasn't been super duper open about that, you know? So.
Right. Hers was also from a different perspective, right? So it was a little bit different than most people that we see on the regular as far as, you know, why she ended up going down the road of surrogacy versus.
Was it because of her like extreme preeclampsia or she just like a very, okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I think any way that you get there, it's still something to get your head around and be like, okay, this is my reality, right? Mm-hmm. You never think that that's going to be your story.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So
yes. Next. Well, do you want to talk about Tay Swift?
Yeah.
Hey, Tay.
So, sweet girl.
Yes. So there's this Taylor Swift song that, you know, came out in what year was it? 2022, called Bigger Than the Whole Sky. And I feel like everybody in our community was using that on Instagram and TikTok and Reels and all that stuff because, you know, she never came out and said that it was about miscarriage, but it certainly seems like, you know, it was like some of the lyrics are, do you want me to sing, guys?
Yeah, I really did. I was hoping you would.
Goodbye, you were bigger than the whole sky. You were more than just a short time. And I've got a lot to pine about. I've got a lot to live without. I'm never going to meet what could have been, would have been, what should have been you. So I just got the chills.
Me too. But,
you know, I don't know. She never came out and said it was about her own experience. Obviously, she talks, you know, writes about her own story most of the time, but it could have been about a friend of hers as well. You know, some people have speculated it was maybe about one of her best friends having a miscarriage, but regardless, it's about some sort of loss. And, you know,
I was, by the way, really surprised when like everybody was like, it's about a miscarriage. Yes, of course it makes sense, but I'm very slow on those kinds of trains always. And, you know, she's an only child. And I was wondering if
she has a brother.
Oh, she does?
Yeah.
Guys, don't ever have me on a pop culture show, let alone host one. Like I was saying.
It's Austin.
I always, in my head, I was like, I wonder if it was something that she experienced as a kid watching her parents have a loss or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Still could be true.
Still could be true. Definitely. Still could be true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the part, like when she says what could have been, should have been you, that makes it seem like, you know, it was more than like a breakup.
Yes.
But to that point, though, it's so interesting when you have been through it, your mind says, well, obviously it's a miscarriage. But if somebody is not in that world, they're like, oh, yeah, it's a breakup. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like what lens are you looking at it through in order to translate what this means?
And it's a really good way to segue, not segue, but to tie together that loss, the feelings of loss in any form. So loss of a relationship, loss, right? A breakup loss, a miscarriage. You know, those words could be true for any of those. And I think a lot of times people say, well, I haven't experienced a miscarriage, so I don't know what you're going through. And that's true. Until you've experienced it, you don't know what it's like to go through, but you do know what your own loss and grief feels like. And so if that can inform how you can better show up for your people who have gone through a loss, I think it's super helpful.
So true. So wait, here's a hot take really quickly. I was just on the Googles. So Jack Antonoff actually was one of the co-writers of that song. So maybe it was about one of his relationships.
Who's Jack? Who's so Jack?
He's a singer from the Bleachers. He's like their best friends. He wrote many songs with Taylor, a frequent co-writer.
He used to date
Margaret Qualley.
Yeah.
Andy McDowell's daughter. Really
he
great.
He was very, very famous for dating Lena Dunham for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe it was about something in his life too. You know, that's another theory.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Taylor, call us. Tell us.
Taylor. Yes.
What's the truth?
Inquiring minds want to know.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so 1-800 infertility support. I wish that was really aligned. Okay. Speaking of loss, let's go to This Is Us. Cause I think there are a lot of different plot points at play that we could talk about. Personally, I resonate, of course, with the triplets who were born and then they lose one. You know, in that day and age, they were born in the 70s, late 70s. Mothers were allowed to have triplets very easily. And I just remember in the pilot episode where they, I don't know if it was in the pilot when she gives birth, but early on,
I think
watching
it was.
That show.
No, yeah. It was.
It was, because I remember being like, I wonder how
there's that plot twist at the end when you're like, holy shit.
Right. Yes. Yes. And that's it is. It's that plot twist. And I don't think, I feel like they did a great job, but also there was not a lot of time to process what had happened because then they had three newborns, right? Two of their own, and then they adopted Randall. But like, it was a lot to handle for a pilot episode of a show right out of the
especially gate. If you're trying to process that as the audience and it affects you, right? You're like, wait, what just happened? And then all of a sudden we're living our happy life. Back it up. Like, unfortunately, it doesn't really play out like it does on NBC in that form, I don't think.
You know what will be interesting? So I just read that Mandy Moore and two of the other actors, I can't remember which ones or what their names are off the top of my head, but they're going to be doing a rewatch podcast called This With Us.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting to listen to that. And I'm sure they'll do it chronologically, you know, so the first episode, they'll probably talk about this. And I wonder if they'll shed any light on that as to like, you know, the thought process behind it or like even who was in the writer's room, you know, the speculation that we keep having, like who wrote this? Up with this, did they go through it themselves?
Good point. And then there's also a later storyline where Kate as an adult is struggling to conceive and I think gets diagnosed with PCOS.
Yeah. Right.
And I think they did, you know, a good job of talking of opening up that conversation.
What I do you can't guys remember like PCOS being talked about very much on TV. Can you guys before that? I mean, I could be wrong, but.
Well, I always watched My Big Fat Fabulous Life, I think it's called.
Okay.
And she has PCOS and that's her whole.
Is that a reality show?
Yes, on TLC. Okay. She's awesome. But that's the whole premise of it is that she started a company that was like, no fat shaming or something around that. And the reason that she has such trouble losing weight is because she has PCOS. And so it takes her through her egg freezing journey and showing how she has a plethora of eggs because she has PCOS. But yet on the flip side of it, it shows her struggling with the decision, do I do weight loss surgery to lose weight because she feels like she can never because her hormones are working against her because she has PCOS that she can't lose weight and whatnot. So the whole premise of that really is around that. But in the drama shows, I don't think it's really been brought into play too much that I can recall for PCOS, even though it is such a, you know, household issue that people are dealing with.
Mm-hmm. And I think also they don't spend a ton of time reflecting on Kate's weight in that show, for better and for worse. Like there's pros and cons of that. But it is often associated, like there is often a correlation between PCOS and overweight, what's considered overweight by the medical community. And they did not talk about that at all, really, when they talked about her PCOS. And Toby, her husband, had a sperm issue as well, because we learn he's using antidepressants. And, you know, I think they focused more on that in a real clinician's office. And I mean, they did not need to put this in the show, but like they would have been concerned about Kate's BMI, which some people feel strongly that that's total BS. Some people don't. Right. But many, for some people with IVF, it's not so much even that you can't then try. It's like you have to go under anesthesia, and there are rules about your heart and your weight when it comes to anesthesia. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely more that could have been explored. Did it need to be? Probably not.
Mm-hmm. You know, I do remember them talking about, cause she was like in her late 30s, right?
Yeah.
Like in the show. So I remember them talking about, I don't know, remember if they used geriatric pregnancy, but like advanced maternal age. And like, they did touch on that, which mm-hmm. I thought was cool, because as you guys know, like going through my story, like I didn't even know that was a factor. I didn't know that was a thing. Right. I'd never heard of that until I was like in the midst of it. And I was like, wait, what? We can't have babies like our entire lives? Like,
right.
Right. Clueless. But I think anything that will put, you know, even that notion out into, you know, pop culture or society, so people are like, oh, get them thinking, you know, it's almost like knowledge is power category.
100%.
Agree. Mm-hmm. You know, one that we also didn't talk about ahead of time, we didn't talk about any of these ahead of time for the record, just so everybody knows, but we just like put in a couple of suggestions. But we didn't really talk about Friends.
Yeah.
Because there was the twins, but then also we've come to learn since Jennifer Aniston has spoken out so graciously about her experience that I think she was playing the birth scenes. Oh no, it was Courtney Cox had just had a loss when mm-hmm. Rachel was having Emma, the baby, in Friends.
Yeah.
And I felt like that. I'm often thinking about women who do come forward and share that they're going through it, that are actresses who are playing either moms or those like happy moments of familyhood are happening or working closely with somebody who's going through it. I think about that a lot.
Absolutely. And Anne Hathaway too, also recently came out and said that she was going through a miscarriage when she was playing a character who was pregnant. I can't remember the movie, but that just came out like last week where she was talking about it. So
yes.
I'm curious though, do you guys wish that these big A-list celebrities would be a little more outspoken about it rather than several years later? Or do you feel like it's none of our business? Who cares? They can do whatever they want. I sometimes feel one way or the other, and I don't really know the answer, but I'm curious what you guys think. Like, should they be saying more? They have such a big platform.
I think that when you're in the midst of it, I know for me, I'm very superstitious. So like I wouldn't have been able to come out during any of my treatment or loss, because if God forbid it didn't happen for me, I don't know how I would have processed that. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's how I would have looked at it. I think it's really nice that they come out with it at all at any point. They certainly don't owe it to us, but they help so much when they do.
Yeah, I would never say they owe it to us, but I do think that it's so awesome when someone with a huge platform comes out and is just honest about it, because it does help so many people. But again, I mean, I would never like force anybody into talking about it. And again, so Anne Hathaway was actually in a play when she had a miscarriage while acting as pregnant in 2015.
Oh, that's so traumatic. Yeah. But I also think that the more that it is being talked about and other celebrities are coming out, they kind of have that permission now to say, okay, I'm going to do that too. You know, it's easier to not feel like they have to hide it anymore because they've seen Jennifer Aniston talk about it, or Anne Hathaway, or whoever else may have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely.
So hopefully that trend continues to play out where more and more people are feeling comfortable with those big platforms to talk about it. Because I do think, as much as I don't feel like they're obligated, I do think if you are those top 24 people worldwide that has this huge following of actors, that, you know, people are watching you and listening. And, you know, to talk about the important things and real life things, matter and make a difference. And I think we're moving to a world where not the fake reality, but real life reality. Like, this is what the down and dirty looks like and feels like when you're going through it, right? I'm a human too, they're going to say, or whatever. And I think when Jennifer Aniston came out with all of that, that was huge from my perspective to see her, because we do feel like she had it. She's a little girl next door.
She's our friend. Yada.
Yeah, she's our friend. And now we know this whole other side, which to me made a difference.
I did always feel so badly for her, though, when there was always so much speculation, like, Jen's pregnant. Is she pregnant? Is she pregnant?
It's I know.
And this was the tabloid, like, heyday, the friend with Brad Pitt. And, you know, after that, too. And it was just so much speculation. So I feel heartbroken for her that while she was having these losses and not able to have, you know, that there was so much speculation, that must have been complete hell. And she
had
so much grace. You know, she never, she was so classy about it always.
Well, and there's, of course, this the storytelling about her, like that her life must not be complete because she never had children. And I just love that she's like, that is not the case at all. Like, that is not how I feel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it's possible that it took her quite a while to get to that point. And it's possible that it didn't. And, you know,
and I'm sure she has moments, right?
Yeah.
You don't go through something like that and never look back on it at different moments in time. So I think that's the other thing to just be honest about. Like we were just talking about with me saying about, I still feel that way about that way with my kids now. I think it's so important for people to understand, do we feel completely blessed and so lucky that we have gotten to where we are? Yes. Do we come out of it unscarred? Absolutely not. Does it still affect us in different ways of our life? For sure. It may look like on Instagram or whatever that everything's so perfect and whatever, you know, that's not the case. If anybody talks to me, they'll be like, oh my gosh, life is hard. Does it mean I'd ever trade in my situation for how hard it was to get my little guys? No, but I'm not going to be like, it's all rainbows and butterflies, because certainly not that.
Exactly.
Agree.
Should we talk about Bluey, guys?
Oh, yes. Speaking of the little guys.
I know.
Yes. And, you know, it's possible that majority of our audience doesn't watch Bluey, but there was a miscarriage.
Like, there's been clips, though, like on TikTok and stuff that, like, you don't have to be a Bluey fan to know, like, this recent stuff.
And it's so universal. Like, everybody, it's such a great show, whether you're a kid or not. But there is a miscarriage episode where, again, it's alluded to pretty clearly, but not spoken about overtly, where Bluey's mom, Chili, I think, her sister comes to visit and she has never met the kids, and the kids are like 5 and 7 or like 4 and 6. Mm-hmm. And they're like, how come she's never met us? And they're like, well, imagine if you wanted something really, really bad and you couldn't have it. And the only thing you could see was it in your face with your sister's kids or whatever. They didn't say it like that, but that's what they were getting to. How hard that would be for you. And it was so beautifully done. And the sister is like, I'm sorry that I couldn't be here for you, but I just couldn't. I just couldn't do it. And I think it's season, I don't remember. I'll look it up. Maybe I'll look it up before we show note this and I'll find it. But at some point, Disney actually didn't put it on. They pulled that episode from the full list of episodes available. And then I think it got like a lot of backlash for doing that. And so they put it back on. Yes. Okay. And that's how I found out about it, actually. It was through a fertility group that was like, Disney's boycotting this. We need to share our voice. And it was like, sign this petition. And I have no idea if that's why they did it, but they did ultimately put it on.
Yes. So it says,
our resident fact checker has the information.
Well, there was a season 2 episode called The Show that opened up the door to countless conversations about lost miscarriage and rainbow babies. And then season 3, there was one called Onesies. But the one, I'm not sure if that's the one with the sister, but yeah, it's a very cool thing to talk about, just the like profound effect it can have on sisters or best friends or, you know, something when somebody has no trouble or seemingly no trouble having babies and one person wants that more than anything and they don't. You know, we talk about this in our fertility rally groups all the time. Friendships are really rocked when you're going through infertility, and family relationships too. So I think the fact that they talked about that on Bluey was very cool.
For sure. And opens the conversation with your own little people, right? Because oftentimes people don't know, when do I intro this subject to my own children? Because they have siblings that aren't here with us now, you know? And so I think these types of animated shows and or movies open the invitation to talk to your little ones in those moments to help extend whatever is being not overtly spoken about, right? To say, hey, let's pause it for a second. You know, let's talk about this. You have two little sisters that are, you know, because this is this and this, and you're a rainbow baby. Every day when we see in our house, we have reflections in my bedroom that show rainbows like on the bed or on the floor or whatever. And so they know that they're rainbow babies. So they get in the rainbow, like in the middle of the reflection. So the rainbow's on them and they just love that, you know?
Oh,
and
I think sweet.
Part of that is them knowing that conversation ahead of time. And, you know, those shows, if you're looking for a tool of how to intro to your own children about those conversations is a good way to do it.
Yeah. It's a good springboard. And then you can take it however far you want to.
Right.
You know, if it's enough, then it's, that's right. enough. If
you wanted kind of to like Allie's book about talking about IVF.
Oh,
yes. I'm going to shamelessly plug your book. Allie, can you tell us a little bit about that in 30 seconds?
Blush. I'm ready. No. So thank you for bringing that up. We did not talk about talking about this. So now I feel weird, but.
Wait, I thought you said you would give me $20 if we bring it up.
You didn't pay me off, Allie.
That's all it would take. So Work of Art is my book about, it's my family story about IVF. And it's the same thing. It's like, we talk about it, but we don't get into the nitty gritty science of it. Cause I wanted it to be that entree, you know, for families. And if they want to go further and talk more about what is it exactly, does that mean? Cool. And if not, if that's enough, then it just kind of, you know, puts it out there and just normalizes the conversation. So
that's- yeah, it's great. If you're wondering or have family members or friends of friends of, you know, struggling with how to bring that up, it's a great book to bring up.
I'm like fully bright red right now. You're making me so embarrassed. I don't know.
Sorry, not sorry.
I love you, but
not sorry.
Well, let's end it on a different note.
Well, let's just talk about, I have not yet seen this film, but I know I really want to. And I think Allie, she was a guest on your podcast, which is Leah McKendrick, who did Scrambled. And I think Elizabeth, you have not seen it yet. Maybe we'll do a little LA screening of it or something.
Yes.
But tell us about it.
Okay. And then, So it's a comedy kind of drama, written, directed, and starring this woman named Leah McKendrick. Abby, she reminds me so much of you. I was like, do you know her? And I'm surprised. I don't know. I feel like Hollywood or LA is so small that everybody should know each other, but you should know her.
Okay.
She's like our people. She's just great. And she just did this movie about kind of choosing, like she was always in going to weddings and baby showers and, you know, bad dates for her friends. And then she decides to, you know, freeze her eggs. And it's just kind of navigating fertility and where you are in your 30s. And it's just cool that it was written, directed, and stars her. It's a female point of view.
Where is it? Is it streaming?
Streaming. Yeah. You can get it
on what?
On any, like any of the platforms, I think right now, if you just, you know, I'm not really sure.
Oh, so it's not like Netflix or
no, I
Prime
think
or something specifically. Gotcha.
Yeah. I don't know.
Just look it up. Scrambled.
It's called Scrambled. Came out, this year, and it's wickedly funny. There's this
cool.
Do you guys know June Diane Raphael?
Yes. Love her.
Oh my God. She's in it and she's brilliant. And there was a lot of improv-ing. Leah told me to, so it's just a funny movie, but again, you know, just kind of normalizing egg freezing and figuring out like, what do I want? Who am I? What does a family mean to me? You know, in day and age.
Very
and
cool.
Like, yeah, that's the perfect note to end on, because as more and more of us participate in these conversations and consider what our families are going to look like, there should be more pop culture references for our experiences.
Yeah,
for sure. And there will be.
And there will be.
So, we'll have
so
to
keep them coming. I think we want to hear what your favorites are, right?
Yes.
As you can see, I'm way behind on all things because my head is, I don't know where my head is all the time, but I want to hear what the top five is so that I can binge watch some things that
yes.
are and relevant if we do this to
again, our life. Which I think we should down the line, you know,
yeah.
send us the ones that you guys want us to talk about, because this is fun to dissect and
agree.
For sure. Well, this was so fun, guys.
Yeah. Bye. Happy National Infertility Awareness Week.
Yes. Right.
Love you both.
Bye. Bye.
Well, that was fun. Please do us the favor and message us what your top five fertility or infertility references in pop culture are, because I think we're going to keep doing these. A lot of you out there have messaged me, which is how I came up with some of these ideas, but I think it's really fun and I look forward to seeing how it progresses. Happy National Infertility Awareness Week. Please remember to rate, like, love, share, and follow. At Abby Feeder, at The Fertility Chick, at Encircle Fertility on Instagram. And don't forget, you do not have to go through this alone. Reach out for a 15-minute call for free and see if I can help lighten the load. In the meantime, see you next week.